This episode of the Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by Sales Leadership United. Since 2019, Sales Leadership United has grown to become the largest collection of sales leadership assets in the world. Check out salesleadershipunited.com and tap into tools used by elite sales leaders worldwide. Accelerate your leadership development. Solve modern sales challenges. Use fully prepped sales meetings in your next team meeting. Thousands of hours of sales leadership materials indexed and searchable with a single click. Create your own personal sales leadership library. Head to salesleadershipunited.com and use the code ROB at signup to get a free trial on me. Hi, I'm Rob Jepson, and my mission is to help sales leaders everywhere create record-setting growth from the companies they lead. I'm here to share the secrets of the world's most successful sales leaders. I don't care how big the company or how big the team, we showcase sales leaders who are taking what the market gives and then some. This show features leaders of teams who are beating their markets, winning at crazy rates, and creating life-changing years for the people they lead. The Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by Sales Leadership United, the world's largest collection of sales leadership assets. Be sure to check out the all-new salesleadershipunited.com. Fast-track your sales leadership development, gain insights into how other sales leaders are solving challenges similar to the ones you face, and tap into over 400 leadership topics, hundreds of video insights, battle-tested leadership frameworks, and new material that comes out every single week. Sales Leadership United is the easiest investment in yourself you'll ever make. Head to salesleadershipunited.com, use the code ROB at signup, and get a free trial on me. Now, get ready for some serious insights from sales leaders who are making it happen. And remember, don't worry, we got you. Hello and welcome to the Sales Leadership Podcast, where high-growth sales leaders share high-growth practices and tactics. I am so glad to hear from so many of you on just how helpful these last couple months of guests have been. I agree, they've been fantastic. And I'm so glad to have your ongoing support of the show. And I want to thank you for all of the DMs you're being sharing me as you share with me what these guests are doing for you in your career. Keep them coming. That's why I do this show. And today, I've got a guest that you're going to be excited about. I got a guest you're going to want to thank me for. I got a guest that you're going to want to connect to. And I'm excited to introduce you to this guy. Daisy Corley is the Vice President of Sales at The Tile Shop. For 22 years, Daisy has helped build The Tile Shop into what is now one of the largest and fastest growing retailers of manufactured and natural stone tiles in North America. They've got 140 locations across 31 states in the United States. And Daisy's fingerprints, they are all over the growth and success of this large organization. As they found ways to keep growing faster and faster and more strategically across the country, Daisy has had to reinvent his leadership approach in order to adapt to different economies, new generations of talent, emerging competitors, and new capabilities. And he's done it in a way that's helped him connect to markets, connect to people, connect to customers, and help those that he leads make the choice to grow in really compelling ways. Now, I first met Daisy when he actually hired me to do some leadership coaching with the sales leaders. And it was an awesome experience. And I was so impressed with not just Daisy, but his team and their approach to leadership that I had to dig in and learn more about them. And the more I saw, the more I liked. And I knew I had to have Daisy join me in an episode of the show. And I have spent the last year chasing him down to get him on our airways. So today, finally, at long last, Daisy joins me to talk about something people rarely consider a skill. Something you can develop. Something you need to be intentional about. And if you are, it's something that will be a massive difference maker in the impact you have as a leader. Man, if you can't tell, I am so excited to get started. Daisy, welcome to the Sales Leadership Podcast, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Rob. I'm excited to be a part of it. I know that we've been trying to connect for a while to join, so I'm excited to be a part of this today. So thank you for the invite.
Well, I'm going to thank you in advance on behalf of 50,000 people. This is going to be a fun one. We have all kinds of leaders. They're in tech and finance and manufacturing and industrial. They're all over the place. So I like getting leaders like you that have not just been a quick flash in the pan. You've taken this long approach to consistent growth, not accidental growth. Your story is a cool one. So why don't we start by introducing you to 50,000 leaders, your colleagues all around the world, man. That's one of my favorite things about the show is when we have leaders talking to leaders. Why don't you introduce us to The Tile Shop and a little bit about what you do and how you got to where you are there?
Yeah, I mean, look, the tile shop is a leading retailer, specializing in, high quality tiles, various applications such as floors, walls, backsplashes, and more. We have a wide selection of ceramic, porcelain, glass, natural stone. We offer, customers a diverse range of options to suit, to different design preferences and project needs. We're a company that, we offer, our expert advice, design services, and we assist customers in achieving their desired goals, with probably one of their biggest investments, their homes, a
Love
place
it.
where they spend a majority of their time. So yeah, I mean, that's that in a nutshell, that's what we do. We're in the home fashion industry.
Well, I've seen your work, and I've told you before, I gotta get you guys into Salt Lake City so I can be one of your customers because I love your work. I've seen it firsthand. It's incredible.
Thank you.
You've been there for a while. How'd you get started in sales? You also listen to the show. You also are a member of Sales Leadership United. You know what I always ask. I always ask people like, are you the one? I'm looking for the one. I'm looking for that unicorn. The person said, I knew I wanted to be in sales when I grew up. Are you that person? Are you my first one?
Well, I wouldn't say, getting out of college, I wouldn't say that sales was the goal, right? It was
Right.
a lot of my parents, and then kind of what we're talking about is connecting. My parents were always like, you have a knack with just getting to talk with strangers and getting people to open up, getting people to talk to you. My mom was always like, I think you'd be great in sales, as I was starting to look for a job, almost 23 years ago. And I kind of stumbled upon the tile shop, and it was great because I walked in the door and I had a great leader at that time that connected. We connected very well, and I was like, wow, I could, selling tile was not what I thought I was going to do, but when I connected well with the leader at that time, and it became something that I really loved. I loved the people that I work with. I connected well with my manager, and it was something that I was like, wow, I could see myself working for this company for a long time.
My favorite thing that you just said, and people that watch the videos on Sales Leadership United often tell me they get tired of seeing the top of my head because I'm taking notes the whole time, right? It was like, well, Rob, your hair pattern looks pretty good still. I hear that. That's like this common joke I hear almost every week. I'm like, okay, let's get some new material. What I love is that you said because of connection, you knew you could stay there. And that connection created not just engagement, but long-term retention and stability. And that's a competitive advantage. I got to think that as we get into this conversation around connection, if you can have longevity, that if you do it right, that can become a it could be a risk because people say, I want to do it the way I did it back in 2019 before COVID hit. But there's a real advantage that comes with if you get the right people who are committed to growth to have that kind of stability. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So in 22 years, I imagine you've done a lot of jobs at the tile shop.
Yeah, I started as a sales associate in our Shawnee location. Went from there managing the location in Independence, Missouri, a couple locations in St. Louis. Got to come back to the Kansas City market. Opened up a couple new locations for the tile shop in Kansas, and then got an opportunity to move to the Chicago area, where I ran a few locations there, got moved out into a regional manager position. And then after being there for about 5 years, got the opportunity to move back to Kansas City, to move my wife and family back to where, they're from, I'm from, be closer to family, and then got the opportunity after being a regional over an area where I got to stay home. I got an opportunity to move into a senior director role, and then got the opportunity last year to move into a vice president role for the company.
I love it. So it's so rare to see someone that says, I found it, I liked it, I committed to it. And you're not, you see all these people that are at a place for a year and they hop. And I know that's part of what happens, but I love that I'm talking to someone that you are part of a growth strategy. It wasn't just like a segment in your career. Like you said, I'm going to help grow this. And I think that your story makes what we're about to talk about that much more meaningful. So thank you for sharing some of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's dig in, okay? I always like to put like when it's someone that I already know a little bit, I like to put cards on the table. Like I've had the opportunity, you hired me. I've had the opportunity to do a little bit of work with you and coach some of your leaders on a couple of occasions and watch how you interacted. So I've seen you firsthand. I've been able to watch what your leadership approach looks like. I remember, in fact, I told you on more than one occasion, I'm just really impressed with the connection that you obviously have with the members of your team, because you're leading leaders right now, and it was obvious, like the connection that you have with them. So we're going to talk about connection today, and I want to start this with asking you, is connection something that's just like a natural byproduct, or is that something that you're intentional about as a leader of people? And if so, where are you intentional and how are you intentional?
Well, I think it's definitely, I think some of it is you have to have some of that naturally, but I think a lot of it's learned, Rob. I think a lot of it is connecting with your people and building that trust with your team. I think that when you build that trust with your team and you connect with them like that, it opens up the lines of communication. It makes that whole process of building people, developing leaders that much easier when you connect with them and you build that trust. Because when you have that open line of communication, people can be honest with you. People can, they can feel like, hey, this is where I'm struggling at, or hey, this Daisy is, and I'm not, I'm okay with them telling me, hey, Daisy, I feel like this is where I'm struggling with you. There should be an open line of communication there. Part of that connection is being able, I think, to take some, constructive feedback from your team and be able to build off that, and that way you can better, improve your leadership skills in helping your people.
So I want to sit in that for a minute because I love how you said some of it kind of comes natural because that's a little bit who you are. And I like that. But I like looking at connection as a skill. I believe there's a set of skills in the modern leadership world that maybe before we didn't, like creativity, I think, is a skill. We can be creative. I remember we did a workshop together on thinking different, and you were the one who asked, you said, Rob, how long do we have on this? Because this is harder than I thought. And so creativity is a skill. Connection, though, is a skill. Here's what I see, Daisy. Everyone communicates. In fact, we see signals coming everywhere. We got emails and direct messages and from all social media platforms and texts and I mean everything. I mean everyone's communicating. It's noisier than it's ever been. But you and me have both been in meetings where it's like the Charlie Brown teacher. It's wah, 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 right? And
Right.
so that's an example of people communicating but not connecting. And so I want to dive into that a little bit because as leaders, we often have to communicate change, or we have to communicate quota, or we have to communicate failure, or we have to communicate successes, or best practices, or new partners. There's all kinds of things we have to communicate. How do we know if we're connecting, though? Because you say you look for it. I love that. You mentioned a lot of things like openness of feedback, honest that they give, like willingness to have hard conversations. Like, are there a set of things that you look at to say, here's how I know if I'm connecting versus just communicating? And maybe that's a weird way of starting this, but I think everybody can relate to that. Tons of communication, probably only a little bit of connection, or would you disagree with that?
Well, I think, Rob, it starts with knowing your people that you work with, that you lead. I think, it starts with if you know your people and you know what makes them tick and you know what inspires them to get up every day, I think that's the start of, how you approach how you're going to connect with them. Because you got to know, what makes them tick, what makes them go, so then you know where to how to connect exactly with them. I think it starts with, when I know early on is when, when I ran a store is, talking about something other than work to begin with, asking them how their weekend was, how's their family, what did they do, they talk about they're taking a day off to go, go do a hobby that they like. It's connecting with that first and finding out how that went. Because then I think you can have those, you touched on it, you can have those tougher conversations when you have to have those tougher conversations because you've connected with them about their personal life first. And I think that when you do that, it cultivates such a positive work environment. And employees, they know you're listening to them because you're utilizing those connections where you found out what inspires them to come to work every day, you're bringing that up in your conversations when you're talking with them about these other things.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like I'm thinking about when we do outbound to try and connect to customers, and you do both. You have like retail environments, but you also do outbound to professional service providers. And on either case, we've talked about this, like the better you know the person you're talking to, the easier you can create what I like to call I get you moments for a customer. Sounds like what you're saying is you need to create I get you moments for the people you lead as well.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that you got to understand your team and you got to understand what's important to them. I've always been, something that I always thought was important is you want people, to understand that you really do care. And as a leader, I care, because I think there's nothing, I would say bigger or better than being in a leadership role and impacting someone's life and helping them achieve things that they want to achieve. And you can't do that without connecting with your people, because I think that's the greatest, aspect of leadership, is that, when you connect with your people, and you start to understand them and you start to, get them and what motivates them, you get that gratification of you helping them achieve something. And that to me is so much more fulfilling than a paycheck. Watching someone be able to fulfill their goals, is so gratifying. And you can't do that unless you connect with your people and know truly deep down what makes them want to come to work. And when you build that, you create such a positive work culture, and people feel empowered. They feel more valued, they feel supported, and it contributes to success of any organization when you connect with people that way.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I wrote down a whole bunch of things you just said. They feel empowered, but you also said they feel valued. I have in the last 2 weeks had people that I either work with now or that I used to work with in I do one-on-one coaching in addition to the group stuff that we've done. I've had people that were one-on-one coaching clients of mine call me and say, "Rob, I need to talk to you." And I'm like, "Sure, what's up?" And I'm thinking of like several in the last 2 weeks. And the first thing they said was, "I don't feel valued right now." And that's an interesting conversation when someone says, "I don't feel valued. I feel like all I am is the what have you done for me lately?" And in sales, that's kind of what we sign up for. But can we talk about that a little bit? Like, how do you balance the need for connection and the need for production? Because there are times that in sales we have to say, "Hey, we got to do more." But there are other times that we got to have people don't want to feel like all they are is a line item. And so I love that you went there saying people need to feel valued. Any insights? Because you're good at this. How do you balance the need for growth with the need of personal connection? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think, when you start talking about the connection aspect of, sales, you definitely want to grow. You want to improve year over year. I feel like if you've connected with people well and you got that connection, you can go to your leaders and you can lean on them to get you more and know when the production has to pick up, because you do have that connection. You do have that open line of communication where you can go to them and push and ask for things and get people out of their comfort zones because you've made that connection with them. And they're okay doing that because you've made them feel valued in the past. You've made them feel valued that you're not just listening to them, you're hearing them. You're understanding what they're saying. And when people feel that way, people will run through walls for you as a leader. But if you don't make that connection, that's where it's tough, Rob, to go in and ask for more in sales, right? When you don't have that connection, then you're just then that I think that's what makes people not feel valued.
So that is so good because we got 50,000 people that are all leading people. And some of them may have had people say to them, I don't feel valued. But to our 50,000 listeners, you may have others who don't feel valued that need you to connect with them right now. And I've shared with you, I think, Daisy, we have at least 20 leadership questions. In fact, I remember speaking with you once and I wore one of the shirts, gr choosing growth over grind. And
Yeah.
you got for people that watch the video, you'll see Daisy smiling. One of those is we got to choose I get you over I got you, because I get you is a superpower thing. Every single leader will say at some point, oh, you need that? I got you. Oh, you need help with that? I got you. I got you is like transactional. If they ask, then I got you. But I get you allows you to be proactive, like you said. Like I'm thinking of when I was leading a large team not that long ago, and I had a couple of people that if the chips were down, the way I called it is I would call them these top two leaders and I'd say, hey, I need you to really look into the cushions of the couch and see how many quarters and dimes you can find so you could get us. And we would talk about it like that. We would laugh just like you're laughing. I'm like, you are my people I know I can come to and say, man, I got to look in the corners of those couch. I need you to look. I know you've looked. Can you go look one more time? And they were never offended by that because of the connection that we had, right? And so I really like that you said that. So I have a thought about that that I'd love to explore with you if that's okay.
For sure.
I think when all we do is push on the outcomes and the production, that's when it becomes more transactional and less connected. I think that if we look at what are the inputs that get those outputs, because all of them have these no shit Sherlocks. So like, of course, we want to produce more. Like, none of us want to fail. But maybe if we can start getting them enough that we are looking at the inputs, the what are the things that result in those? Can we evaluate those and lean into those? And as a result, have it come, not because we're doing weird things or desperate things or taking bad deals or really bad pricing, but we're going to be a little more strategic about understanding the connection on inputs and success. Is there anything to that on that level of connection that allows you to push?
Well, I think that, you know, when I've been hearing this a lot, people, business, finance. Right, you connect with your people, you know, and you develop them, you connect with them, you work with them, and the business will improve, and then the finance people will be happy with the performance. I think that that's a big thing. It's something that the person that leads me, that inspires me today, is you know, brought that up the other day, and it makes so much sense. You focus on your people, you connect with your people, you know, the business will improve. And then, the finances, you know, the financial department, the financial world will be happy with that. And I think that's a big thing, is you got to connect with your people. You connect with your people, the business performance will improve.
Dude, that is so good. I wrote that down, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that show up in our title, People, Business, Finance. And that's where the power of connection shows up.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about that first part. Let's shift into that, because I think this is really interesting. Back to the world of, well, we communicate with everyone. How do you know, man? Like, I don't know if you remember Justice Potter Stewart. Like, you weren't alive then, but the story you may have heard of. He's a Supreme Court justice that was asked to legislate porn. Like, what constitutes porn? And he came back saying, I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it. That's what he said. And I have fun with that when I work with groups, saying, okay, that works for porn, but that's a really crappy way to build an environment or a connection with people. I can't tell you what connection looks like, but I know it when I see it. As an experienced leader that leads a large team with great success, are there a couple things in your mental checklist that make you feel like, okay, connection's good, or something's missing, connection's weak? Are there a couple things that you would say to our 50,000 listeners, here's a couple things you might want to look for so you can be intentional about?
Well, you know, I know for myself, Rob, is I try to get to a lot of our locations. And, you know, I try to make sure that I think it's important to be present in the stores. And where I can really see the connection is where, you know, I have talks with, you know, our salespeople, our managers, our warehouse managers, and I can see the messaging coming down the funnels, right? And people picking it up and bringing it up as we're talking in our conversations, as I make visits to locations where they're bringing up the things that I've talked about with my regional team. And I'm like, wow, okay, the connection's there. Everybody's starting, we're all rowing in the same direction. And I think that's the biggest thing that I see, is that, you know, the proof is right there as you're having conversations with the team of, you know, they'll say something that I brought up with one of my regional managers. And I'm like, well, they're like, yeah, my regional's been talking about this. And I'm like, wow, that's the conversation we had. And so that's where I can see that the connection is happening, and it's funneling down through our entire team. And we're all rowing, you know, in the same direction.
I love what you just said. I'm going to spit it back to you because I want to go a little deeper. I don't want to just skip over this. This one is gold. And I think this is epidemic that every one of our 50,000 leaders could benefit from. You said you got to be present. And my like corollary of that is we got to create moments of observation. We don't want to just observe what the financial report says. Finance came last. In your equation, it's people, then it's business, and then it's finance. And so too often, all we observe is the finance. Is that a fair statement? Too often, all we observe is the finance?
Yeah, I think people get focused on the numbers too much and don't go into, you know, what's most important is the people. And if you're present and you're in front of your people and you're connecting with your people, you know, I think that will lead to what your ultimate goal is, right? Is you want growth. But I think it's important to make sure that you're present in stores. I think as a leader, you know, I know for myself, Rob, is I never want to become, you know, disconnected from where I started. You know, I never want to lose touch of where I began, because when you're in the trenches with your people, you understand what they're going through. And I think as you grow as a leader, I think it's easy to kind of lose touch with that. And I think that's important to stay connected with your people, to get into stores and to make visits, ask questions. Hey, what's working? What's not? Where can we change? What can we improve on? What do you need more from me or your leader to help you? And I think that's that connecting with your people and really being present, listening to what they're saying and going back and doing something with that information, I think is key.
AC, that is gold. That's going to be a clip in Sales Leadership United for sure. And I want to go even one lever deeper on that again. So now we're like, if we were watching the movie Inception, like, you know how that movie takes you like multiple levels, like we were already a couple levels deep. We're going one more level deeper on that. Cause I think this is a big deal. I love that you brought this up. And like I said, one of the reasons people like our show is you never know exactly where it's going to go. And that's what makes it awesome. Back to people ending with finance, and we're talking about being present and observing. It is not hard to observe finance. It's super easy to do. The reports come every month or every week or every day or whatever you want. You have dashboards, you have tools, you could see finance whenever you want. I don't need people to report that to me. I can see it whenever I want, but observing the rest, that's something that takes intention. And if you speak with your time and being present, I have to think that sends a message to people that can't be sent any other way.
Yeah, I would agree. I think when you're present and you're in a store or you're around your people, it's that, you know, your actions speak more than words, right? You know, like you leading by example, them seeing you and being present and talking to people and making sure that, I don't know, for me, Rob, it's letting them know that, you know, I'm just like them. I started where they started. I still have areas where I can improve. I'm open to suggestions. I'm open to their feedback. I want their feedback for us to be more successful. Is you know, you got to be open, you got to be present, you got to be there to kind of hear what they have to say, what they have to offer, because, you know, we hire so many amazing people out there and they come from all different backgrounds and they have so much to offer. And you'd be naive not to take that feedback and utilize some of that feedback that they give you to become even better as a company. And you never know who you're going to run into, what talent is out there that, wow, that could be the next person to move up into the leadership team, or that could be the next person that could replace me. You know, it's, so I think it's something that I don't ever want to lose as a leader, is making sure that I'm present, being connected and making sure that I never lose touch with that. if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, because I was talking with another, like, you guys have a lot of people. Like, I'm not sure what your number, somewhere between 1500 and 2000 people, I think, is kind of where you guys are. And I can see why, in order to be, like, you may not get to know all of them, but you got to try and be connected to the people who do. And so that takes me to my next thing. So if the first thing I asked you, like, you know, when you say, well, I know I have connection if I'm present, that's going to give me a first chance. Is the second thing, I want to, like, restate what you just said to me. Is that the second kind of way, you know, like, the types of things they bring to you is what it sounds like? Are, like, if, are they only doing kind of yes man things, or telling you what you, they think you want to hear? Or are they willing to tell you what you need to hear? Is that something that you look for as well?
Yeah. You know, I think it starts with the conversation. When I get to talk with people, Rob, I let them know from the beginning that I don't want to know, you know, I want to know the good, the bad, the ugly, right? I want to know what we need to work on, what needs to be improved, how can we improve? And I think you start that off, and you let them know that this is an open line of communication. I try to make sure that I always stay present for my people and let them know that the door's always open. That open door policy, you could say, where they could give me feedback. And sometimes it might not be great feedback, but it's great feedback, you know, especially if it's an area where, okay, if you hear it enough, there's opportunity. And if you hear it from one, you know, there's probably multiple people out there that have the same thought. And I think that you got to take that, and you got to look into that and go, okay, how can we grow from that? What can we improve there? And I think there's always things that you can improve. It's when you don't, when you stop not looking for areas to improve, is when you fail. And I think that you gotta be looking for, okay, where can we improve at? Where can I change? Because, you know, we've always had a mindset, change to win. And I think that, a guy that listens to a lot of music, you think of a lot of bands. A band might keep that same, you know, they might never change, you know, their music style. But then the really great bands, they evolve, they change. And that's how they stay relevant, right? And I always take that into consideration when you go into business. You got to change the way, and you got to look for areas where you can evolve, where you can change, so you continue to stay relevant out there. And I think that's an important piece.
It's better than an important piece. And I'm glad you brought up our music, because we have had some good dinnertime music conversations, you and I.
Yeah.
And I'll always take a good music metaphor, but you're right. You are absolutely right that the bands that have stood the test of time have been willing to reinvent along the way. And it's one of the reasons I was so excited to have you talk about this, because you have helped a company not just achieve a leadership spot, but stay in growth mode, even though you're the big 900-pound gorilla in your world. You've stayed a growth story. You haven't said, okay, we're big, now let's just manage this. No, we're going to stay in growth mode, like almost like we're a new company, except we have better resources than a new company would have. I love that about you. And so let me turn that into it. So you've given me a couple things that I like to restate for our listeners, because as you know, I like to give them a couple things that they can use as litmus tests. Number one, are we present? And that's an easy one. Like, am I creating moments of observation? And whether it's a retail store like you have, or it's an inside sales team or an outside sales team, we need to find ways to be present so we can observe. I love that. Second, observe what kind of things they bring to you. Are they only bringing you what you want to hear, or are they bringing you what you need to hear? I loved how you said that, change to win. I wrote that down. I love that. You also said, when you stop looking for ways to improve, that's when you die. I love that. Is there a third? Because I always like threes, as you know. Is there like a third thing you'd encourage our listeners? Because we're almost out of time. I can't believe how fast this 45 minutes has gone. Is there a third thing?
Quicker than I thought.
Yeah. is there a third thing that you'd say, hey, here's a way to kind of know? Because again, we don't want people to say, I can't tell you what connection is, but I know it when I see it. Is there a third thing that you might suggest? Hey, this is a good indicator on if you have connection or not.
Well, you know, I think you look at it as, if you have good connection, you're going to have good retention of people.
Love it.
And I think that's the thing to look for. If you don't have good connection, you're not going to retain great talent. And I think that's because I think it goes, Robin, to that, knowing what makes people tick. if you know what makes people tick and you know how to motivate people from that and connect with them that way, they're going to stick with you, and that creates retention. So I think that's a big thing that you can look for as a leader.
Those are money. And I can't wait to put those up, the videos up, because these are going to be things that are going to help a lot of leaders. So I want to wrap with this one thing, and then we're going to give you a way to introduce yourself and how people connect with you. I love the idea of treating connection as a skill. Like you said, you have to learn some of it. And so you've given what to look for, and some of them are also things you can do. So maybe that means prioritizing being present with people. Maybe it's making sure part of what you do as a leader is, I better know what makes them tick. I better, because one person's going to be motivated or connected to one thing and someone else is another. Is there anything you'd say, listen, to 50,000 leaders out there, here's one or two things that you might do if you want better connection. You've told me what to look for. Is there one or two things you would say, hey, these ought to be part of your leadership approach to help them treat connecting as a skill instead of something they just do or don't do?
Well, it's something that, you know, I see people make a mistake on in leadership, and not, you know, outside that I see things as my kids get into, you know, opportunities and they have different leaders. And finding out what drives people, Rob, I think that, you know, making that connection with your people, and it's kind of like, you know, it's like a customer walks through the door. I don't talk tile. I talk, you know, something else. I find an area of interest that we kind of have, and I get to know my customer. You're creating a friend, you know, before you get into the business part of things. And I think that that's a big thing I see. And that is, you know, it's, you know, like I said in the beginning, you know, my mom always thought, yeah, you're able to connect with strangers and have conversations. You'd probably do well in sales. I think it's something that as leaders, we can forget sometimes that you hire people to do a job, but you know, it's more than that. It's connecting with your people. And when you connect with them and you find out what makes them tick, to get them to do the things you need is so much, it's so easy rather than just going right into business and talking business all the time. And I think that's something that we got to remember as leaders, is that take the time to ask somebody, how was your day off? Hey, you went to your son's soccer game the other day. How'd that go? You know, and take a valued interest in your people. And I think then everything is, it just happens naturally. But that's the important piece. And if I could give any type of advice to any leaders, is making sure that you're personable with your team and you show them that you care. Caring for your people and you know, being present is so valuable. And when you do that, and I've had a lot of great people that have done that for me and have been someone that is, you know, led by example, it's really made that, you know, very easy for me to do, because I'm following their, you know, their path, what they showed me. And they led by example in that. And I think that really helped me really make sure that I made that important. And I made that important with my people, is you got to connect with your people and you got to inspire your people. And I think that's the whole thing. And if that's the one thing I could say is my advice, I would say that's my advice, Rob.
Dude, that is, you're so good. We're almost out of time. We're down to our last 2 minutes, but I love that. You just made me think about alignment. I love how you said find common ground. And I think of my tires. My father, who's no longer with us, I remember two things he told me about how to take care of my car. Number one, never miss the oil change date, whether it's back then 3,000 miles, now synthetic, it's longer. It's like, it's the best insurance you'll ever pay. But the other one he said is never stop rotating and aligning your tires, or else they'll wear out faster. And if they're even 1 degree out of alignment, the farther down the road you go, the worse the damage becomes. And with people, as I listen to you, that's what it occurs to me, Dacey, is that if you can maintain an alignment, if you are aligned, you can go down this road and you'll stay right next to each other. But if you're even 1 degree out, the farther down the road you go, the farther apart you get. And what a great visual you just gave. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yeah. We got a lot of people who are going to like what you had to share. If people want to connect, or if people want to take the conversation to another level, or they just want to, you know, learn more about Dacey and who knows, maybe there's some people that say, hey, I want some of your home stuff that you do. How do people connect with Dacey? How do they learn more about you? How do they find out more what you've got to offer?
Well, look, I'm on LinkedIn. So, I mean, I would say feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. I find it very, rewarding connecting with different people, different leaders out in other industries. One, it helps me continue to grow as a leader. If I'm able to help somebody else too along the way, I would love it. But I would say, LinkedIn for sure, Rob.
And we'll put your LinkedIn address in the show notes so people can make that really easy. And we're out of time, dude. It ran out. Usually I give people a final thought, but I think you just did it. That thing you just did is the final thought. So on behalf of 50,000 people, 50,000 leaders just like you all around the world, some in companies your size, some in companies that are trying to get to your size and everything in between, I want to thank you for giving us an hour of your time. I want to thank you more for giving us some of the insights that have helped you be one of those leaders that people say, I'm going to stick with him because he gets me. And if there's one thing I'll say, connect with Dacey, follow what he does, because he's right. People, business, finance, that's the order of operations. We all heard about order of operations in math when we were in middle school. That's the order of operations for success and leadership. So on behalf of 50,000 people, Dacey, thanks for joining us. And as I say to everyone, happy selling, my friend.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it.
Everyone, welcome to another So What portion of the Sales Leadership Podcast, where we break down that interview and we ask ourselves, why did that conversation even matter? But first, this episode is brought to you by Sales Leadership United. Man, Sales Leadership United has had so much growth, and I am so grateful to each of you who continue to choose to check it out. The purpose of Sales Leadership United is simple. I want to give you access to the greatest and largest collection of sales leadership assets in the world. Listen, I coach over 100 sales leaders. They're in big companies. They're in new companies. They're in every industry. They're people that are new to leadership. They're new to their companies. They're people that are the most seasoned leaders and the newest leaders, the most mature companies and the newest, fastest growing companies. It's all of it. And every one of them is looking for tools. Every one of them is looking for insights. All of them know they need perspective. That's one of the things that sets the elite leader apart, is they know they need more perspective. They ask me really common questions like, how do you create systems? How do you create foundations? How do you create change? How do you coach? How do you lead up, manage up? How do you connect to a totally different generation? How do I continue to reinvent myself as a leader? But the number one question I get, really simple. What are other leaders like me doing to solve problems like the ones I'm facing right now? And that's why you got to check out Sales Leadership United. All the tools, all the trainings, all the techniques. Perspective that only comes from the benefit of thousands of hours with leaders from all around the world. You get frameworks. You get sales meetings that are ready to go. You get leadership insights from other leaders that are working on things that you are. It's current, it's modern, and it's high impact. If you haven't checked out Sales Leadership United, head to salesleadershipunited.com and use the code Rob at checkout to get a free trial on me. Now listen, I love it when I have leaders on the show that I have seen work in action firsthand. Those are always some of my favorite episodes. I don't get very many of those. But Dacey's someone I've seen firsthand, and he is a fantastic sales leader. I don't think it, I know it because I've seen it. And it's not just because his team consistently hits their growth number. It's because I've seen how he connects with people. I've seen and felt the connection of his team. In my career, I found that everyone communicates, but a much smaller portion of leaders actually connect. Connection is one of the seven characteristics of elite leaders, and that means we've got to learn to treat connection as a skill. Now, for many people, that's a totally different way of thinking. You may be sitting there right now saying, how do I treat the ability to connect as a skill? And that's a fair question. Recent data shows people feel less connected today than ever before. And a prevalent way of thinking is, if I don't take care of myself, nobody will, because they feel like it's every man for themselves out there, every person for themselves out there. And that's why having a leader who, quote unquote, gets them is a passion factor. It always has been, but it's more of a passion factor today than it's ever been. So you should ask yourself, how are you intentionally creating connection?
This is one of those places where small improvements will create large disproportionate results. And I know this is big right now because the leaders I'm working with are telling me. I'm hearing things like, our company has lost its soul. They say we are a people-first organization, but that's garbage. It's profits above all else, and more and more and more. So when Dacey shared this formula of people, then business, then finance, that really spoke to me. Everyone knows we have to perform. Performance is a big deal. It's one of the three strands of our leadership DNA. But I also think performance is table stakes. People and connection, that takes focus. It takes being intentional. You have to do more than just talk about it. You have to prioritize it. And one of the problems comes in visibility. Financial results are extremely visible. Performance numbers are extremely visible, but connection, not so much. That's why there's that famous saying, I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it. This is why you need to be intentional about creating those I see you moments, because I see you must happen before we can really say, I get you. And I get you, that's something that only elite leaders can really say or create. So I hope you give this conversation with Dacey a good listen. And take time to inventory yourself. Ask questions like, how am I actually connecting? Start where Dacey suggests. Do you know them? Do you know the person? What inspires them? What kind of things do they bring to you? Are they only bringing you deals, or are they only bringing you problems? Are they only telling you things that you need to hear and not just what they think you want to hear? That's a really important one. What are they passionate about? What do they do well? What's causing challenges? It's a long list. Listen, you have to. You must know the people on your team. It's one of the reasons I'm such a fan of Skip Level One-on-Ones. I've got a couple of great trainings on Skip Level One-on-Ones and Sales Leadership United that if you're interested, you should go check out. Skip Level One-on-Ones is a really great way to make sure you stay connected to your team. And connected teams, they just flat out perform better. So don't pay lip service to that formula that Dacey shared of people, business, finance. Prioritize the people. Listen, I found there's five eyes of connection. I have a training on connection in Sales Leadership United, and this five eyes is part of it. They're all words that have the letter I in them. So I say the I and then the word. Like, for example, the first one is align, A-L-I-G-N. So the way I say it is, I align. So let me spin through them really fast. Number one, I align. What this is simple. I find and I create common ground. Number two, I simplify. I do the difficult work of keeping things simple. Number three, I thrive. I create a work experience people enjoy. They don't survive my environment. They thrive in it. Number four, I inspire. I don't just communicate and share information. I connect to feelings, desires, wishes, fears, passions. I understand that I focus. And then the last one, number five, I live. I am authentic. I live what I preach. I walk my talk and I create credibility. Those five things will help you be more successful in turning how you connect to people into a skill. And to wrap this great call, this great session with Dacey, don't forget that we have 20 leadership choices that we have to make. I've talked about them on and off throughout the show in the last few years. I have all 20 of them in Sales Leadership United. One of the 20 leadership choices fits here, and that choice is that we got to choose to connect before we correct. So we choose connection over correction. Most leaders get that backwards. They choose correction before connection. And as a result, it becomes much more difficult to be an elite, high-impact leader because we're not connected. So this week, identify ways you can start treating connection as a skill. Start with aligning better, knowing people better, because humans don't just want connection. They need it. They thrive in it. Provide it, and you'll see things change on your team faster than you might ever thought possible. So, Dacey, my friend, thank you for joining me. Thank you for sharing your insights. Congrats on an amazing career and helping build one of the largest success stories in your industry. Congrats on creating such an impact, not just on the finance side, but more importantly, on the people side. Thank you for sharing your story and your insights with 50,000 leaders all around the world. I can't wait to get updates from you on how things continue to grow and the success you continue to achieve. Be sure to connect with Dacey. Connect with him on LinkedIn. Use the link I include in the show notes to make this easy. You'll be glad you did. And then be sure to head to Sales Leadership United for the video clips of this conversation with Dacey and hundreds of other sales leaders. There's going to be several videos from this episode you will want to use as you create your own challenges to the leadership DNA of yourself and those you lead. And you're going to turn connection into a skill that fuels impact throughout your career. Finally, thanks to each of you, our listeners. The greatest compliment I get is when you share the show with those you work with. Introduce them to the Sales Leadership Podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes. Please share this episode with one of your colleagues. And you can support the show by checking out Sales Leadership United. Head to salesleadershipunited.com and check it out. I think you'll be glad you did. Thank you for your support of the Sales Leadership Podcast. It's been an amazing 5-year run. Our job as sales leaders is to create life-changing years for the people we lead. If you liked this message, please share it with someone who needs to hear it and then get after it this week. Because life is short. We got no guarantee of what comes tomorrow. Maximize what you do today. Be elite, live strong, and chase your passions and do your best work so you can live your best life. And don't ever forget, you got this and I got you. Here's to a terrific week. Thank you so much for joining the Sales Leadership Podcast, the award-winning sales leadership podcast for those sales leaders looking to create legendary impact to those they lead. The greatest compliment you can give is to share this show and any of your favorite episodes with your fellow sales leaders, social media followers, or other communities you're part of. The Sales Leadership Podcast is brought to you by the Jepson Performance Group. If you want to discuss any of the topics discussed on the show, want to level up your leadership impact, discuss executive coaching services, or even include me at an upcoming event, hit me up at rob@jeppg.com. That's rob@jeppg.com. And to those of you working to become a legendary sales leader, I salute you and wish you much success on your journey. Whenever you need someone in your corner, you know where to find me.